100% sure what is it. He just said it's contagious, whatever it is. All right. But anyway, let's keep him in our prayers. I want you guys to understand, there's some churches out there that are really struggling. You know, if you think this is a small group, there's some that have really small. You know, but hey, they're faithful. Faithful. And I'm going to tell you a little secret. It's not men. There's not, I'm sorry, guys, but we don't stand up where we should stand. It's women, you know. Why? I don't know. Maybe to embarrass us, to humiliate us, you know, because I feel bad. I'm like, God. But anyway, brother, we'll keep him in prayers. Any other prayer requests, please? Gloria. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Best thing you can do, hey, pray for me.
My daughter's friend has a tumor in his mouth, and he asked if we would pray for it.
Amen. You bet. You bet. You can remember the song, The Lord Has Power? Do we believe it? Anybody else? Amen. 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 Praise God. Okay, I know hearing no other, let's bow our heads. And I'm going to ask Brother Merle, could you lead us, please? Amen.
Our Heavenly Father, we once again come to your throne and thankful for the many blessings you bestow upon us. We ask that you would remember the prayer requests that have been brought forth to you. You know every need. We pray that you would answer according to your perfect will. Be with those, especially that are under doctor's care.
Amen. Oh, praise God. Heavenly. Amen.
Help us to go grow closer to you, Lord.
That's right. That's right. That's it.
Go with us through the rest of the service and forgive us of our sins in Jesus' precious name.
Amen. Let's open up our Bibles. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 3, the book of Hebrews, the encouragement. I was talking to Brother Robert back there, and I say Paul, because I see a lot of Paul's writing, his way of thinking. And he's, you got to understand, his heart desire was for his people, right? So the writer is comparing what people thought was great to Jesus Christ and showing, hey, he's good, he's great, he's more powerful. And it says in verse 6, Hebrews 3, verse 6, but Christ as a son, where in verse 5 it says Moses as a servant. Moses was a servant, but, I like the way he says that in verse 6, but Jesus, but Christ as a son over his own house. Brother, this is his house. Overall, the world, the universe, everything functions and held together by him. Things happen in your life because he permits it. Whose house we are, and that's talking about being a child of God. Are you a child of God? Are you a member of his family? Because I tell you what, a stranger, I don't bring into my house. I don't know. Are you his family? And if you are you family, are you member of his household? You see, the kids should have chores, work. All right? I don't want to be. Anyway, kids should have something to do. Hey, look, you're going to throw the trash. And you're going to rake the leaves, you know. Everybody had a little job to do, and they don't like it, but hey, you got to teach them, right? Because the things in life that I don't want to do that I have to. Oh, look it. But we are his house. Brother, when you're in God's house, God has an order for you. Do not think you're going to come in and do what I like to do. It doesn't work that way. God has an order, right? And the important thing is, He's going to write us, and I want us to dwell on this. And then we're going to look at why. He says, whose house we are, if, warning, this writer, that's why I think it's Paul, in his heart, he's writing and he's thinking about us. He said, okay, child of God, you're a member of a church. You've been a church member for how long? And you can't even teach? And you can't even preach? Are you still a babe? He says, if hold fast, hang on to the confidence. Brother, the confidence of what? What is the confidence we have to hold on to? What is it? Brother, that Jesus Christ is, that you are saved, a child of God, because of what Christ did. Brother, you are not able to measure up, okay? You can't do it. Don't feel bad. You can't do it. But Christ did it for you. All you have to do is submit to his will. And that's where the rub comes in. Satan knows that, so he's going to use that against us. But all we have to do is submit, all right, and have confidence. I'm trusting in you, Christ. You remember that study in the book of Acts where Paul went? His heart desire was to go to Jerusalem. And then what happened in Jerusalem? It was nothing but problems. But his confidence was where? Amen. It was in Jesus Christ. Confident. You hang on to that. Things are going to go wrong in your life, but you hang on to him. In the, right there, verse 6, in the rejoicing of hope, firm unto the end. Brother, there is confidence and there is rejoicing. I want you guys to see this because this is important. This writer, I keep saying Paul, but this writer is trying to tell us something, and I want you guys to grasp it. Psalms 95. Psalms 95. I want you guys to look at that. Psalms 95. The writer, just like Hebrews, nobody knows 100%. Some say David, and some say that it wasn't. They don't know 100%. But this psalm is expressing what we're going to read in Hebrews chapter 3. It starts off, seven verses, glorifying God. Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise. Remember the joy and the confidence? Let us sing unto the Lord, make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation, right? Oh, yes. Praise the Lord. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise. But it doesn't matter how you sing. You guys ever sing? It doesn't matter, you know. You guys ever hear Brother Rudy sing? We make a joke out of it, you know. Oh, man, that guy, tell me he sings, I get confused, you know. But he's making a joyful noise because coming out of his heart unto him with psalm. Why? For the Lord is a great God, a great king above all gods. So he is worthy. In his hands are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is also his. The sea is his, and he made it. And he formed a dry land with his hands, right? Verse 6, oh, come, there's again, oh, come, let us, when I say let us, it's all of us, me and everybody included. Let us worship and bow down. You know in the Hebrew that's the same word, to worship, bow down. Same thing, you know. It's paying all. It's giving the all to the one who deserves it, right? Everything. He said, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord God, our maker. Isn't that beautiful, guys? Right? Oh, praise God, right? Woo. Well, yeah. Well, yeah. Let's look at verse 8. Here he's singing about praising God. Come on, let's all do it. And then what he says, and what really starts in verse 7, he said, for he is our God, and we are his people of his pasture, right? He is the shepherd, Jesus. You know, this breaks down, but Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 that this rock was Christ, right? And it says that he's a pasture, he's our shepherd, and we are his sheep. Oh, we are following Jesus, right? Oh, we're going to go all the way. Glory, glory, hallelujah, glory, right? We're marching forward, oh yeah, right? And it says he's a shepherd. But it says today, not tomorrow, not yesterday, God's calling you today. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. What? What do you mean harden not? Man, weren't we singing praises? Man, you see those songs up there? Weren't they beautiful? Right? Oh, Lord, our God. What's that one called? When I see the grandeur of what you made, you know, the awe, I just want to sing, you know, praise the Lord. Oh, yeah, but it says today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart as in the provocation, and that is as in the day of temptation, as in when we said stubbornly, not me, no God, you got the wrong man. I'm not the one. You want me to do what? Oh, sorry, God. Oh, praise the Lord, but not me. Right? Provocation. When your fathers tempted me. Now, this is God talking. He said, when Moses said that the people went crying to, we're starving, Moses. We're over there in Egypt. Boy, we had it so good. Oh, yeah. They forgot about the nights they had to make brick without straw. They forgot about that. You know, they forgot about fulfilling a quota that was almost impossible. And they cried unto the Lord, Lord, help us. And God said, Moses, I hear their cry. Go over there. Oh, no, not no more. I don't remember that. Right? Come on, church members. You daydream how it was before? Maybe I could go back before. We're no different. We harden our hearts. Oh, yeah, we say praise to God only to our convenience. As in provocation. What do you mean? What are you saying? Verse 9. Then when your fathers tempted me, prove me. They saw. Right, my works, but they tempted him. Why? What they said, they saw God. They saw the miracles that God did. Brother, God didn't work miracles in your lives. Brother, there are lives that have been changed. Drug addicts that quit, stopped using drugs and started trusting in Jesus Christ. God pulled them out of the gutter. And put them on the right track. And they walked it. God is in the same business, brother. You know why they were crying in the desert? I don't know why. They said, oh, Moses, we're hungry. Moses, you brought us over here and there's no water. We're going to die of thirst. How come you didn't let us die over there, you know, in Egypt? And then again, when God said, okay, go into the promised land, go send 10 spies, they came back and said, oh boy, what God said is true. This land is rich. Man, there's things in there. There was these, they brought back these giant grapes, you know, and these beautiful plums and pomegranates and fruit. And they were like, man, this is a land filled with milk and honey, baby. It's beautiful. But there's giants in there. And we are like grasshoppers. We're like little bitty bugs. And these guys are monsters. They're just going to not even break a sweat. Just like, okay, we're done. Right? Oh, where's your faith now? Oh, isn't it? Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. But where's your faith? Let's go back to Hebrews chapter 3. I think you guys got a sense of what I'm talking about, okay? Let's go back to Hebrews chapter. He's warning us. He said, look at guys, okay, I know you guys are out there, you know? You guys are going to face or are facing persecution. I want you to stand firm. Stand firm in what you in the confidence you have in Jesus Christ. Because, brother, Jesus Christ is the same today, yesterday, and forever. He does not change. He does not change. He's still the same. Remember, there in the book of Malachi chapter 3, he said, you are cursed with a curse because you have robbed me. That's God saying that. And they say, God, how have we robbed you? Hey, he said, you have robbed me on the things that I deserve or that you should have given me. As a servant, brother, we are servants of God. Who calls the shots? As a servant, my master's talking to me. Who calls the shots? Is it left up to my opinion? Well, God, you know, you said this, but you know what? I don't think so. No, he said, you're cursed. Want to know why you're in the desert and you're starving and you have no food? But by my grace, I'm going to feed you anyway. It was by God's grace that he gave him quail. It was by God's grace that he gave him water because they didn't deserve it. If it would have been me and my kids would have came like that, I would have took off my belt and I would have said, sorry, Charlie, let's go in this little room, me and you together, you know, and you're going to come out. Then you're going to do what I say. Well, God didn't do that. He showed mercy and he showed grace. Brother, God's giving you grace and mercy, you know. It says in verse 7, therefore, Hebrews chapter 3, verse 7, therefore, as the Holy Ghost said, it's the Holy Ghost or is it God? Remember back in Psalms 95? It was God. But right here it says, as the Holy, brother, the Holy Ghost wants to lead this church. The Holy Ghost wants to lead your life in the church. You don't make your own calls. You don't say, oh, no, I cannot go. No, you don't know. You don't know that church. Right? Oh, man, it's all that boring. You know why it's boring? Because you're in the desert. Get out of the desert. This is the promised land. God said, go do it. And they said, no. Okay, walk in the desert. So if you're in the desert, don't be blaming God. It's because you decided not to. You made a call. You said, no, I'm not going to do it. I said, okay. All right. You're cursed with a curse. Don't come to me. You made that call, brother. Understand, okay. If the Holy Spirit says today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart as in the day of provocation, as in the day of temptation when your fathers tempted me. They said, is God with us or not? Hey, come on, church, isn't it God in this building? Oh, you missionary Baptists, you guys brag about the New Testament church being the bride. I don't want to hear anything about it. Brother, is it true? Do you believe it? Or is it just word of mouth? Wherefore, I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their minds, in their bodies, in their heart. What is it? Brother, when you tell somebody you love, I love you with all my heart, what are you saying? Are you saying that muscle that pumps blood? What are you saying when you say, I love you with all my heart? What are you saying? That, brother, that's a deep emotion in you. Remember when the word of God goes in? It goes in the heart and it splits it. And it goes deeper into your inner thoughts, your inner feelings, your emotions. That's where the word of God works, brother. He said, you err, that were in the desert and now always err in their heart. And they have not known my ways. Ignorant of the power of God, not submitting to it, because we don't know. All we know, brother, all we know is what I can do. That's all I know. I can't do that. Come on. Moses said, not me. You got the wrong man. God, I can't do that. Brother, God knows you. Trust in God. Brother, Peter walked on water when he said, okay, Jesus, you really want me to? Let me walk on water. Trust in him. Trust in him. And you, brother, I'm going to tell you, you're going to leave the desert and you're going to go into the land of promise. The land of promise. He said, man, there was things great in there, but we can't do it. Brother, let's walk in there. Let's put our faith. If you trust him. This is, therefore, I was grieved with that generation, say they do err in their hearts. So I swear in my wrath, God got mad and said, okay, you guys don't want to believe? You want to live the way you guys want to live because I'm giving you the promised land and you're saying we cannot take that extra step? Impossible. Take heed, brethren. He's telling us now, lest there be any of you an evil heart of unbelief and departing from the living God. Hey, church member, how active are you in the church? How active are you? Come on, let's be honest. You don't have to give me a number, but how active are you? Brother, how much are you giving to God? You know God's the owner of everything. Do you know that when you die, you're not going to take anything with you? You know that? They dress people up with all the fine jewelry, and they give them special things that was close to them. They're not going to use it. I'm sorry. Brother, nothing in this world are you going to take to heaven because you don't need it over there. Jesus Christ, he is the one. Put your faith in Jesus Christ. Store up your treasures in heaven, Jesus says. But we get caught in this materialistic world and we put more value on a pair of shoes than we do our Savior. You know that? Or in a car. God says, man, brother, I'm mad. I'm upset. And he said, verse 11, and so I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Who is our rest? Jesus Christ. We said we accept him as he is our Savior. Well, praise the Lord, you are saved. God wants you to be saved. Now, are you serving him? Are you a member of the church? You say, yes, I am. Well, praise the Lord. Are you active? Are you endeavoring to keep the unity of the faith? Are you encouraging? Do you feel discouraged? You got problems? Talk to somebody else. Don't be bashful. You talk to somebody you trust about your problems. And you pray about it. You can bring it before the church, but don't announce it. Nobody needs to know your problems. I'm sorry, that's between you and God. You guys settle it. But as a church body, he says, if you have someone sick, you put medicine and you call the elders and you pray about it because he has the power. Nobody else does. Right? You exhort, what it says in verse 13, but exhort one another, how often? How often? What it says there, how often? Once a year? Once a week? Oh, whenever you guys get together? Daily. Every day. Brother, every day we need to exhort, help out. Say, brother, I know you're going through a hard time, but there is something better. So much God has to offer us. But, brother, we don't listen. We harden our hearts. What do you mean, brother, to harden your heart? You see, it says there, exhort one another while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin, for we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence. Oh, there's the word confidence again. Trusting, steadfast to the end. Well, it is said today, brother, now is the time. If you hear his voice, harden not your heart. And it goes back to this provocation. It's pointing back. Okay, brother, that was our picture, our example. Now, brother, how in the world could people that saw miracles, they saw the when God pulled them out of Egypt, all these things, you know, they saw hail fall with fire. It was amazing. But how through time they could say, God, where are you? I thought you were so powerful. How could you forget? Brother, we forget when we don't remember. We forget. We get a hard hardened whenever somebody says something about what we should do, and we go, well, maybe not. Maybe not quite that. And then comes again. And now you have a little group. And, well, you know, now we're a little bunch of guys, we're a bunch of people here. We all feel the same. We feel, we don't have to do it. Or we shouldn't do it. Then that little group gets a little bit bigger. Then they come to the man that God appointed, Moses. Moses, hey, what do you think you're doing here, buddy? You are not going to change that. Brother, it wasn't the leader. It was God that told the leader. We harden our hearts. You know what? Jesus says, hey, tonight, somebody's going to offend me. And you know what they said one to another? Could that be me? Could I be that person so low to offend or to betray my Savior? Could you be that person? You say, oh, no, not me. Well, who are you trusting in then? Are you trusting in God or yourself? You know, brother, it says, as in a day of provocation, don't be like that. Don't start hardening your heart. You submit yourself. You pray about it. You ask God. Look in the Word. Encourage one another. Let's go on. Hey, I'm going to tell you what. You could step out of the desert and into the promised land. You wonder why people don't follow? You want to know why? Because you're saying, oh, hey, look, this is what God promised me. But you're standing in the desert. And they're looking at you like saying, are you sick? This is a desert, man. What are you doing here? You know, because we're not following. There's a promised land. They saw it and said, wow, it's great. But did they go? Nope, we can't do it. Brother, you could do it. Trust Jesus, your Savior. You're not saved. Trust Jesus. That's step number one. You are no longer a stranger. You become a child of the living God. But God doesn't stop right there. He says, I want more. I have more for you. He wants you to serve him. All right? Serve him. You remember the woman at the well? Oh, Jesus, you guys serve over here. My parents serve over there. Where do you serve God? Jesus said, let's go there real quick for we could see it clearly. John chapter 4. And she's over there. Okay, Mr. Christian man, right? Here we are. We're saved. Come on. She says in verse 20, you know, our fathers worship in this mountain. Ye say that in Jerusalem is a place to worship. Ye say was the Jews. Jesus say, no. I'm not going to become legalistic. No way. You could be saved, brother, anywhere, any place. We went door knocking yesterday, met some guys. They claimed to be Catholic. That was their shield of defense. I'm a Catholic, you know, I'm pretty firm. I said, that's fine, no problem. I just want to tell you Christ died for your sins. Do you understand that? And they said, well, yeah, you know, kind of. And then I had a chance to share a little bit more. And the guy was real firm, and he goes, well, okay, well, convince me. I said, well, you know what, I'm just going to tell you the truth. God's going to convince you, not me. Anyway, that's what Jesus is telling this woman. She said, believe me, the hour cometh, and now is. Nor in this mountain, nor in Jerusalem. Worship, get the word there, worship. We're talking about save, child of God. God saved us to worship him. He goes into worship again. He said, ye worship what ye do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation of the Jews. He's telling her Jesus Christ, the Messiah, did come through the promise given from Abraham, which that was a Jewish race, okay? The Messiah, the promised one, the one that you could look back. Jesus told those two guys walking in Emmaus. He took them through all the scriptures and showed them that he was the Savior. And then he goes in verse 24. I want you guys to pay attention to this. It says, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Verse 23, I jumped. Verse 23 says, the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers, the one that worship God. And brother, I want you guys to understand this. Please get a picture in your head. Children of Israel came out of Egypt, going through the desert. God gave them the Ten Commandments. God formed or told them how to build the tabernacle, set Levites. And not only that, but he set a structure how they were going to serve God, how they were going to serve God. Jesus is telling that woman right here, okay, God wants your service. He saved you. It wasn't you, it was him. He saved you. He wants true worshipers. God is not a guy of lies. God is not, there's no shadow. You know, he's not pretend, no little tricks. He wants true, pure worship. How you worship God truly. Are you saved? Are you serving him? Right? It says, the true worshiper shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. All right? True, pure heart and a pure hands. That's what it says. You come with a pure heart and a pure hands. Get your heart right with God and then get your body right with God. And it says, right there in verse 23, I want you guys to see that. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. Hey, child of God, church member, God is looking for you. You went astray. He's seeking you, saying, come back. Get your heart right with me. Get your heart right with me. You want to step out of the desert? Put faith in me. Don't be like the example of those Israelis that rejected and said, no, we can't, because they step by step, you know, little things nudging your heart, pushing you to a certain feelings. Throw your feelings away. Look at what God tells you. Is your heart right with God? Quit excusing yourself and saying, well, you don't know, Junior. I'm weak. I'm poor. I got one arm. I got one leg. I can't hear it right. Quit excusing. You got sin? Confess it. If you're a church member, then quit playing around and start serving God, because that is why he saved you. Not to make you happy. You will find joy. Jesus says, hey, I'm going to give you the joy that the world is looking for, right? But you will find joy in service. You're tired of being in the desert? Step out. Step out. That's what he's saying. Hey, come on. Quit playing around. God wants service. And when you serve him, he said, I would shower you with blessings that you will not be able to, you'll be amazed. Brother, are you willing? Are you willing to pay the price for the blessings? Or you want to be like those Jews walking around the desert? Oh, my God, he has me so thirsty. Lack of faith, hardened hearts. Brother, where is your faith? I can't see the time. I want you guys to stand up, and I want to give an invitation. Brother, I'm going to invite you today. The Bible says, while it is called today, brother, that you make a decision. Well, you know what? You make a decision every day, but make a decision to serve God wholeheartedly, with a clean heart and a clean hand. Question is this: are you tired of living in a desert? Oh, I don't see nothing. You know, we pray to God, and you know, he don't answer me. Well, maybe it's time to look in. Why? What is it? Hard-heartedness. He said, be careful. Be careful about your hard-heartedness. Submit yourself to God. Listen, I love that song that says, and you cannot find peace and you will not have rest. You will not have rest until all on the altar is given. Brother, that's not just words. People wrote that because they went through it. Warn you not to go through it. Just like the writer of Hebrews warning us, look at brothers, you avoid it, right? Brother, we'll have an invitation to some.